Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. There's big news this week about the future of Cape Wind, the massive offshore wind farm being planned between Cape Cod and Nantucket. Two power companies, National Grid and Northeast Utilities, have pulled out of their contracts to buy electricity from the project. They say Cape Wind missed a deadline to finalize funding and start building the massive turbines on Nantucket Sound. This is a huge setback for the project. Cape Wind says the contract cancellations are invalid, and it says it missed the deadline because of relentless litigation by opponents, specifically the Alliance to Protect Nantucket Sound. And indeed, this project has been hotly debated since it was first proposed more than a decade ago, with huge money and lobbying efforts on both sides. Outgoing Governor Deval Patrick supported Cape Wind. Incoming Governor Charlie Baker at first opposed it, but then called it a done deal. Well, it turns out that might not be true. And today, the incoming Energy Secretary, Matthew Beaton, said the Baker administration won't get involved in the current impasse.
The state's role is to allow the contractual obligations to work themselves out in however the parties seem to be the most appropriate way to move forward. It's essentially out of our hands at this point.
Joining us now to talk a little bit more about Cape Wind is Ian Bowles. He served as the state's Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs from 2006 to 2011. He's now the Managing Director of Windsail Capital, a Boston-based clean energy investing firm. And what does today's news mean to say about the future of the Cape Wind project? Does it put it in peril?
You know, I don't have a definitive answer for you on that, Anthony. I'm not sure anyone does, but it's certainly not good news. And, you know, I guess the other point I would just make quickly is that, you know, I think this single project has declined in importance over the last decade as you've seen the explosion of solar and energy efficiency in our state. And so 10 years ago, this was kind of the thing people talked about clean energy in Massachusetts. Today, it's, you know, sort of one of 10 things going on.
One of 10, I mean, but there's nothing at that scale, is there?
Well, there is. I mean, solar has happened at a scale of 1 gigawatt, which is, you know, 2 Cape Winds in size in our state. Wind has been built in New England in the last 10 years of over 1 gigawatt, which is, you know, 2.5 Cape Winds. Energy efficiency has saved, you know, many multiples of the size of Cape Wind. You know, when Governor Patrick took office, there was a shortage of renewable power. Today, there's a surplus. So I do think the circumstance has changed dramatically. But nonetheless, you know, I'd say this is a project that Governor Patrick and certainly I felt like should have moved forward. And it did through state government approvals. But it seems to me that at this stage, the project hasn't been able to hit the milestones they worked out with the utilities.
We reached out to Cape Wind today. They didn't want to come on the program. They did give us a statement that said this. It said it would be a travesty if delays caused by an interest group funded by one of the Koch brothers could stop a project that would make Massachusetts a leader in offshore wind and create good jobs and help mitigate climate change. I just want to ask you about one part of that statement, and that is this idea that Cape Wind was going to be one of the biggest and most ambitious and still could be wind projects in the nation. I mean, isn't that important, and aren't we losing something if it doesn't go forward?
It's a narrower point than that, Anthony, in truth. It will be the first offshore wind project in the United States. But wind has been the largest growing source of energy in the world for many years, and there are innumerable, very large, much larger than Cape Wind, wind farms all around the United States in a dozen states. So, you know, no, this is not a big project in wind terms. It would be the first offshore wind. And now there's a large offshore wind industry in Europe, in the Denmark, and in the UK, but it hasn't happened in the United States, and that's for a variety of good reasons. And so, you know, the real loser if Cape Wind doesn't move forward is the offshore wind industry, but it's not the renewable energy industry or the clean energy industry.
Yeah. I want to ask you about, we played a little cut there from the incoming Energy Secretary, Matthew Beaton, and his approach was pretty laissez-faire and said, you know, the state's role is to allow these contractual obligations to work themselves out. It's essentially out of our hands at this point. Is that pretty much all a governor can do or say about this at this point?
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, I think Secretary Beaton had it about right. You know, look, this the state government decisions, many of which were made by me and my successors, have all already been fully litigated all the way up to the state Supreme Court and 100% approved in favor of the decisions made to permit the project, including the power purchase agreement. So any dispute between the utilities and the project developer, you know, I think they now go to court. And so, yeah, I don't think state government has any real remaining role in this. You know, and if the big power purchasers are walking away based on some contract term, you know, that to my mind is clearly, you know, a big setback.
Mm. I'm going to ask one more question. And I know that my line of questioning sort of comes from the point of view that this is a big project that might be derailed. It sounds like a big deal to me. You're sort of playing it down. But what does this mean for the future of offshore wind energy in the United States? I mean, are folks going to look at this project and saying this is just a, you know, terrain we cannot go into based on what happened in Massachusetts?
So I would agree on the basis of offshore wind, this is a big deal. I mean, this would have been our nation's first project, assuming it doesn't go forward, which, again, I don't know. Assuming it doesn't go forward, what happens? Probably nothing happens for the next 5 years until the next project gets teed up, and that next project will be further away from shore where people live, because ultimately this project was bogged down and slowed down by, you know, well-funded litigation against it, you know, far more than any other energy project that any of us have witnessed in our lifetime. And so, you know, I think the key lesson will be any offshore wind projects that get developed in the United States will be further away from where people live. You know, look, a lot of time and effort went into this thing. And so, I you know, my view is it's not a good thing for the state for it to appear to be, you know, in trouble. But I don't think it means that the state's climate goals, which lead the nation, and our clean energy goals, which lead the nation, you know, are in peril.
All right. Well, that's Ian Bowles. He's the former State Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs and now the Managing Director of Windsail Capital. Ian Bowles, thank you so much.
Nice to talk, Anthony.